Snake Productions. Verily all praise is due to the Almighty Lord. We praise Him, we seek His aid. We beseech forgiveness to Him. We seek refuge of Allah Ta'ala from our evil souls and our evil actions. He whom Allah Ta'ala guides is rightly guided. And he who Allah Ta'ala misguides, wallahi, he will never ever find a protector, a guardian, a helper to ever guide him to the straight path. I bear witness and testify without any compulsion that there is no one worthy of worship except the Almighty Lord, Allah Ta'ala. And I bear witness that He is the only one who has the power to create the entities. For indeed He is Allah Ta'ala. He is Ar-Rahman, who has plenty of mercy for all His creatures in the life of this world and for the believing servants on the day of resurrection. He is Al-Malik. He is Al-Malik. The King, the Sovereign, the Munaq, the One to whom belongs the complete dominion. Indeed, He is Al-Quddus, the Holy One, the One who is free, pure from all imperfections, and He is clear from children and adversaries. Likewise, He is clear from the statements, the blasphemous statements of the Jews, the blasphemous statements of the Christians, the blasphemous statements of the pagan Arabs. Those swine said that Allah Ta'ala has a son and Uzair is Ibnullah, the son of Allah. As for the wood worshippers, they said that Isa Ibn Maryam is the son of God, the son of Allah Ta'ala. As for the pagan Arabs, they said that the angels are the daughters of Allah Ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من هذا كله. This is nothing but blasphemous disaster. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala is in no need of a partner, is in no need of a child, is in no need of any creation. He is independent. For indeed, He is Al-Muhaymin, who is the vigilant, the supporter, the protector. We are in need of Him. He is in need of no one. He watches the slave's deeds and actions. He is Al-Musawwir, the fashioner, the organizer, the designer, who formed His creatures in different pictures, black, red and white, with different tongues, Arabic, Asian, English and so forth. And He is Al-Wahhab, the most generous, the giver, the bestower. He gives, wallahi, the creatures, and gives, and gives, and gives, without asking for a return. And He is far from those blasphemous statements, clear from those evil statements of the swines, who said that Allah's hands are tied, who said that Allah's hands are stingy. Indeed, their hands be tied, and they be accursed for those evil statements. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands is widely outstretched. He gives out of His bounty to whom He pleases. He is the most gracious, the most merciful. He is Al-Wahhab, the bestower, the most generous. And He is Al-Aleem, Al-Razzaq, the provider, the sustainer. He knows our actions, dear brothers and sisters. Yes, we can all hide from each other. You want to conceal knowledge, you can conceal it to each other. I can prevent someone from knowing that which I intend. But wallahi, dear brothers and sisters, you can never ever conceal the knowledge from Allah Ta'ala. No matter where you hide, no matter how much you try, you will never ever conceal that which you are intending from the One that created your intention. For indeed, He is Al-Basir. He is the seer of all things. No matter where you go, you want to go to the tallest building, the furthest cave, underground. You want to hide yourself from people's eyes. But Allah Ta'ala, you can never ever hide from Him. If you think you can commit sin without your relatives, your family, your cousins, your friends witnessing you, so I can commit the sin, Allah Ta'ala is witnessing you. And you can never hide from Him. The black ant on a black mountain on a dark night, he sees it better than the ant sees itself. The Almighty Lord said in His glorious uncreated word, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ مِن قَبْلِ. Oh, you who believe. Now if you believe, open your ears. For indeed Allah Ta'ala is talking to you. It's a communication. Oh, you who believe, believe in Allah. Believe in His Messenger. And that which was revealed to His Messenger. And that which was revealed, the scriptures before the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Muslims, we believe everything that the Almighty Lord has placed in His books. Everything. The revelations that have come from our Creator are all the words, or is the very word of Allah Ta'ala Himself. Is the very word of Allah Ta'ala Himself. He sent it unto His messengers for the purpose of conveying His laws, His religion to the people. The greatest of these books, as we all know, is the glorious Quran, which was revealed to our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Al-Injil, which was revealed to no other than Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. Then a Torah, which was revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Then the Psalms of David, which is known as Zabur, revealed to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. But the greatest of these books is no other than the uncreated word of the Almighty Lord. The greatest miracle that was ever descended on this earth. The glorious Quran, dear brothers and sisters, the glorious word of Allah Ta'ala, the glorious uncreated word of the Almighty Lord. This book stands as a guardian over all the other books. It stands as a guardian, subhanAllah, over all the other books, and it abrogates. Very important to understand this. It abrogates the previous book's rules and regulations. We are commanded to follow it. وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And this is a blessed book that we have bestowed upon you. So follow it and fear Allah, though that you may receive His mercy. As for the previous books, why are they abrogated? Why do we not have to follow them? The nations in the past, the creatures, have played, have destroyed, have touched, have tampered with these divine books. With these divine books, until they reached a state where they were fully distorted, fully, not any little bit, fully distorted and far from its original form. How many gospels today are circulated among the Christians, each one being different from the other to a far extent? How many? We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did send the book to Jesus alayhi salam. We do believe this. But we believe that He sent one single book. Not the gospels that we see today. One single book. So from where are all the other books? All conflicting versions. Where did they come from? The contradictions in those books, the contradictions in His so-called holy book that Allah descended. which even a layman can even sort of detect. If you look at the majority of these so-called holy books, you see them in one part, they sanctify the prophets and present them as being lofty models with excellent character, and in the same so-called holy book which they worship, you see them mentioning these great men as lecherous criminals who are capable of committing every known sin. So much so that they've mentioned them as being men of incest. وَلِعَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ Prophets! Allah Ta'ala is going to place in that book those men He chose of incest. Is that logic? Is that rationality? Why do they not open their eyes or wear the best glasses when they read and awaken from this devil? All they care, these so-called people of the church, is to fill their money with gold and silver in their pockets. Just fill it up. That's all that bothers them. And in other parts of the same book, the holy book we're talking about now, the book that they say God sent to them, it's diffused with shirk and pagan thoughts. Incarnation, the Trinity, and the most evil thoughts. And they say that we believe only in one God. Tayyib, why did that one God place in that book Trinity? The whole thing does not make sense. لا تصدقوا أهل الكتاب ولا تكذبوهم وقولوا آمنا بالذي أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إليكم وإلهنا وإلهكم واحد واحد ونحن له مسلمون. Do not trust the narrations of the people of the scripture, nor belie them, but say, we believe in that which was revealed to us, and that which was revealed to you in its original form, not in today's form. And our God and your God is only one. And we are Muslims. And we are Muslims. Meaning, we have submitted to this one God. You have not submitted. As for the glorious word, the uncreated word of the Almighty Lord, the greatest miracle that man has ever received from the heavens, Allah Ta'ala has taken the responsibility to preserve, to safeguard, to take care of this beautiful revelation. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ Indeed, we are the senders, the bestowers of the dhikra, which is the Quran, and we will guard over it. We are the preservers over it. And subhanAllah, He has placed a challenge. He has placed a challenge to humanity, to jinn, to produce the light of this Quran. If you say that this Quran is not from Allah Ta'ala, whoever mentions this, then tafaddal, you're welcome, try to produce a verse like the verses of the Quran. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِصُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ If you're in doubt, O humans, O jinn, of that which we revealed, the Quran, to our slave, then produce a surah, a chapter, the like of thereof. And call unto your witness, call your friends, call your relatives, call your cousins, call your, whoever you want to call, besides Allah Ta'ala. But if you do it not, Allah says. Listen to this beautiful statement here. But if you do it not, and you will never ever do it. You will never ever do it. So prepare, or fear a fire whose fuel is men and stones, prepared for the disbelievers. قُلَّ إِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say, if the whole of human, the whole of jinn gather together to produce the like of this Qur'an, they will never ever produce the like of this Qur'an, even if they were to support each other. This is a divine thing. Allah Ta'ala has preserved it from tampering with, from playing with it, from changing, from destruction, from additions and omissions, from alterations and distortions. No one, wallahi no one, has the ability to ever play with this Qur'an. 14 centuries since the Qur'an was revealed, do we see one vowel, one letter different from another, in any other Qur'an, any other version, as they might say? One Qur'an, one version, one book is the Qur'an. The same Qur'an here is the same at the end of the world. No one has ever been able to meet this challenge. Why? Because it's hard? Because Allah Ta'ala has preserved it. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. If you do it not, and you will never ever be able to do it. Oh, non-Muslims, if you say this Quran is not the word of Allah, then prove it. Prove it. Try to get a verse like the Quran. Wallahi, they tried, and they tried, and they tried. 1400 years they have been trying. And they all failed. One narration came that a man, a Jewish man, 6 whole months in a garage, he locked himself up. In a garage. He should have stayed there. 6 whole months trying to produce a verse like it. He came out a madman. He came out a madman. Did not know what to do or how to produce it. He goes, impossible. This is centuries ago. The pagan Arabs, who were avowed enemies of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Quran was being revealed, they wanted to take or try to attempt this challenge in order to prove that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a false prophet. Alayhi ma yastahiqu min Allah. With the knowledge that the pagan Arabs, or the Arabs in those days, the Quraysh Arabs, the Quran was revealed in their language, in their dialect, and they were people who used to compose beautiful poetry, the most eloquent poetry. And they were very eloquent, extremely eloquent. And if they cannot do it, no one on earth can do it. Due to their strength in Arabic. And they were unable. They tried, but they were unable to pass this challenge. Why, dear creatures? Why? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not consider the Qur'an? Do they not reflect? When are they going to awaken? Had this Qur'an being from other than Allah Ta'ala, they would have found in it much discrepancy, much problems. If it was from other than Allah Ta'ala, it's not hard to resemble in the sense of to produce a verse. It's simple. Because in man, in humanity, or jinn, there was always someone better. So it's not hard to produce something better than another person. You always find someone better than you. But this book is not from human or jinn. This is the uncreated word of the Almighty Lord. Have we taken this with full reflection? Have we really understood as Muslims the meaning of the Quran? Have we placed it in its correct position in Islam? Or have we placed it on the walls, engraving or hung it on the walls for beautification, or placed it underneath our pillows or on our shoulders or in our car as an amulet? Or just kissed it and placed it on the cupboard when you walk in from work and when you leave to work? And I believe in the Quran, you say. Given it lip service only. This lip service. You just read it, you close it. Commandment, not a problem. Prohibition, not a problem. It doesn't bother you. You just give it lip service. How many schools, unfortunately, to say this, how many schools are out there that are teaching children the Quran, the memorization of the Quran? Excellent work, beautiful. But how many of the schools are really teaching the meaning of the Quran, the implementation of the Quran? Isn't that more important? Or is it just important to memorize the Quran and say, MashaAllah, Hafiz. Here the Hafiz al-Quran. Where, yeah, if you see his actions, you can't even tell he's a Muslim, but he's Hafiz al-Quran. The companions would not go beyond 10 verses of the Quran until they read it, memorized it, understood it, and implement the commands in it. As for today, how many Muslims have been reading Surah Al-Fatiha for years or tens of years, and yet they do not even understand what Al-Fatiha, the word Fatiha, even means? Our hearts have become softened to the Quran because we are not implementing the Quran the way we should. And Allah says, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Had we revealed this book, this Quran, on a mountain, the mountain will be humbling out of fear. The mountain with full stability and power would humble, would shake out of fright. But when we read it, our hearts are soft. Our hearts are easy. It's a command, inshaAllah ta'ala, in the future when I get older. It's a prohibition. Oh, it's hard to do this. I cannot abstain from this. It's too hard. So why read the Quran? Why read the Quran if you're not going to implement the Quran? Don't you know it's going to be against you and not for you on the day of resurrection? Against you and not for you? We recite, as I mentioned, Surah Al-Fatiha, which consists of 7 verses, 25 words, 113 letters, every single day at least 20 times. If I were to ask a brother or sister in Islam, what does it mean? The majority of those you ask, wallahi, do not even know what Al-Fatiha means. The majority do not even know what Alhamdulillah means. The greatest surah in the Quran, Al-Fatiha, is Al-Quran, Al-Kitab, As-Sab'u Al-Mathani, Al-Quran Al-Azim, As-Salat, Al-Hamd, Al-Shafa'. The names of Al-Fatiha. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companion, let me teach you the greatest surah in the Quran. He said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises due to Allah, Lord of the universe. It is the 7 oft-repeated verses of the magnificent Quran. Ubay ibn Ka'ab, after reciting Al-Fatiha to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa said to him, I swear by the one that has my soul in his hand, that Allah has not revealed its likeness in the Torah, in the Injil, in the Zabur, nor in the Quran. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strongly emphasized the importance of Al-Fatiha, saying no prayer will be accepted for the one that does not recite Al-Fatiha in prayer. Did we know that when we say Al-Fatiha in prayer, that Allah Ta'ala is actually replying to you? When you recite Al-Fatiha, do you want to communicate with Allah? Wallahi, you are communicating with Allah. And He with you when you are reciting Al-Fatiha in prayer. As Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, that Allah said to us, it's a hadith Qudsi. Allah says, I have divided my prayer between my servant and I in two halves, half for me and half for my servant. The servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When you recite in prayer, think of what you're saying. Don't just say lip service, or you cannot wait to just finish the verse and run away. When you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise due to Allah, Lord of the universe. Allah says at this point, My slave has praised me. Allahu Akbar. When you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah says, my servant has extolled me. When you say Malik Yawm al-Din, master of the day of judgment, say it with belief. Don't just say it with lip service. Say it with understanding. Master of the day of judgment. Allah says, my slave has glorified me. When you say, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, you alone we worship, and you alone we seek help from. Allah Ta'ala says, this is between me and my slave will have that which he has asked for. When the slave says, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladina an'amta alayh, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wal-ad-dallin. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path, the path on those whom you have favored, not those who have received your anger, nor who have went astray. Allah will say in this point, all these is for my slave, and my slave will have that which he has asked for. We always recite at the start of the surah, dear brothers and sisters, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Is this a verse from Surah Al-Fatiha, or is it not? Scholars have differed. Some said it's a verse in its own right, and others said no, it isn't. And this is likewise with every single surah in the Quran, regardless of Al-Basmala itself. Al-Basmala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. The Basmala plays a key part of everyday life of a Muslim. We are encouraged that before we do anything, to say Bismillah in the name of Allah. Before we eat and drink, before we consummate, before we enter and exit the house, enter and exit the car, before we dress and undress, before you enter the toilet, before you work, before any affair, you always say Bismillah. If that affair, by doing this say, Allah will bless that affair as long as it is regulated in accordance to the Sharia. It's not haram. Because Bismillah, when you say Bismillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the affair that you are confronting. So never ever leave Bismillah under any circumstance. Always say Bismillah before you do anything. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here has praised himself and has commanded all of us to praise him. And at the end of every affair, we always say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. For indeed, Alhamd is Lillah, in the heavens, on the earth, in the beginning, at the end. This is very fundamental to Islam. A Muslim, when he appreciates something of Allah's creation, he exclaims, Alhamdulillah. When he becomes happy of something good happening to him, he exclaims, Alhamdulillah. If he encounters, subhanAllah, this is a Muslim, brothers and sisters, if he encounters that which he might perceive, or she might perceive as good, as bad, yet the Muslim says, Alhamdulillah. Implementing the great hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ صَرَّاءُ شَكَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. How wonderful, dear creatures, the hadith mentions, is the affair of a believer. Everything is good for him. of a believer. And the hadith says, and this is not the case for anyone except a believer. Except a believer. If prosperity attends, he says, Alhamdulillah. He says, Alhamdulillah. If adversity befalls him, he endures it patiently, and that is better for him. Because he says, Alhamdulillah. Why? Because he knows that this is a test from the Almighty Lord. So that which is perceived as a problem turns to opportunity. So whenever you think that you are falling into a calamity, brothers and sisters, understand that Allah Ta'ala, He is testing you. A Muslim, wallahi, never ever falls in a calamity. Because that calamity is perceived a problem, but in reality, it's an opportunity for you. It's an opportunity to increase your reward and erase sin and raise your status in paradise. So we say, in that time, at the time of calamity, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rabb, what does Rabb mean? This is what you're reading every single day, at least 20 times in prayer. Have you understood the word Rabb, the Lord? Have you understood how this powerful meaning it means? This word? Rabb primarily means the one who is in charge. It is the authority figure. Here, it means, it expresses the belief of absolute universal Godhead. For wallahi, brothers, indeed Allah Ta'ala is the soul, the absolute, the ultimate owner of this universe. And He alone has the full independent authority to act in the whole cosmos, in the whole universe. Isn't He not the supreme master who created the universe and watches over it, ensuring its stability, ensuring its well-being? And do not be deceived by those blasphemous statements of those that said Allah Ta'ala has forsaken or has abandoned the universe. This is absolutely absurd to even think this. Not only absurd, the creatures, it is disbelief. As the meaning of Al-Alameen, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. What's Al-Alameen? Al-Alameen means every single thing other than the Creator. As Pharaoh, when he asked Moses alayhi salam, what is the Lord of Al-Alameen? He said, Rabbu samawati wal ardi wa ma baynahuma. The Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that which is in between. How beautiful is this meaning? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This little sentence, phrase, verse, wallahi, can be explained in one whole year. When we recite Al-Fatiha in prayer, do we reflect upon this meaning? Do we really say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen with understanding, with reflection? Or do we just say it because we have to say it and we have to get out of prayer as fast as possible? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allahu Akbar. Two descriptions of Allah the Exalted. Two beautiful, perfect, excellent names. For among His beautiful names. And these both words, two names, are derived from Rahma, which is mercy. So what is the difference between the two of them? They're both derived from mercy. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. The scholars have mentioned that Ar-Rahman is more intense than Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman is endowed with mercy that extends to all creation in this world and to the believers only on the day of resurrection. As for Ar-Rahim, they have mentioned that it is the mercy, it's endowed only or extends only to the believers on the day of retribution. But Allah Ta'ala, dear creatures, when you recite Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, when you recite this, know that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's mercy predominates His wrath. For indeed, when He created creation, He wrote in a book that is with Him over the throne. Over the throne, as the hadith mentions. Over His throne, as the hadith mentions. He wrote Indeed, my mercy predominates my wrath. Allah Ta'ala is the all-merciful. He created mercy in 100 parts. And how many parts did He send to earth? How many parts? One part of that 100 mercy. And that one part, Allahu Akbar. There's so much compassion, love, comfort, ease on this earth. One part. So much so that the animal will lift its hoof from its young one, fearing that it might stamp it and kill it. Just that one part of mercy. Subhanallah al-Azim. And the remaining 99 is with Allah Ta'ala in favor of the believers on the day of resurrection. Malik Yawm al-Din. What a beautiful verse. Malik Yawm al-Din. The Master of Masters, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Judge of Judges. On a day of resurrection, He is the King. He is the Sovereign. He is the Monarch. Why? Because He is the Creator. On that day, Allah Ta'ala will place the whole earth in one hand. He'll roll the heavens in the other hand. He'll raise it up high and say, I am the King. Where are the kings of the earth? Where are the arrogant? Where are the tyrants? On another narration it mentions that Allah Ta'ala will place the mountains, the trees on one finger, and He will shake them. He will shake them and say, I am the King. I am Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Malik Yawm al-Din. Yawma yakumu ar-ruhu wal malaikatu saffa. La yatakallamuna illa man adhina lahu ar-Rahman wa qala sawab. The day when the spirit and the angels, Jibril and the angels, stand forth in roles, no one on that day will say a word except he who Allah permits, and he speaks only the truth. What is Yawm al-Din? Malik would have understood. What is Yawm al-Din? What is the deen itself? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَالْأَمُرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ. What would make you comprehend what the day of deen is? Then again, what would make you comprehend what the day of deen is? The day when no soul shall have the power to help another. This is Yawm al-Din, brothers and sisters. The day that we are all going to be standing before the Almighty Lord. You can do as much as you want now. You can carry a burden on you, or you can carry a mercy on you. We have a chance. Human and jinn have been given, unlike other parts of Allah creation, a free will. We've got, Allah Ta'ala has created in us the intellect to choose. For this, it could be against us or for us on the day when you will stand before the very hands of the Almighty Lord being judged. What did you do on this earth? If you did good, wallahi, you're going to receive good. But if you oppose the divine purpose of your well-being, of your being on this earth, which is to worship Allah Ta'ala, you will be destroyed. And no one's to blame but you. So we've got a chance. We haven't reached that part yet. And until we reach that part, we have a chance. Because we're still alive. We're still alive. And the only thing that we can do to really prepare ourselves for that day is to worship Allah Ta'ala. It's not hard. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The next verse comes. For you to fulfill that which Allah wants you to fulfill, you must implement this next verse. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship and you alone we seek aid from. You alone we worship. This noble verse indicates the realization of the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Its meaning is comprised of two matters, negation and affirmation. Negation aspect means to remove every object of worship apart from Allah Ta'ala in all acts of worship. You don't go to the grave and circumambulate the grave and say, "Ya fulan, I need this or I need that." You don't go to your saint, or you don't go to the angel, or you don't go to the jinn, or the prophet, or your father, or your sheikh, or your Sufi mystic sheikh, and say, "Give me such and such." You go to the one that created all those creatures. Iyyaka na'budu means that we worship you, only you. This is the meaning of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Do you know Allah in law worship? You cannot be a Muslim. Even if you say Iyyaka na'budu by going to the grave, to a so-called wali, and circulating the grave and seeking aid from that dead human being in there. Nothing but bones, that he needs help and you cannot help anyone. Yeah, subhanAllah, how absurd is that? How can a person go to a grave and say, "Please give me, please give my father life, or please give us provision"? SubhanAllah. Where's the brain that you have been given? You alone, O Allah, we worship, and no other. The second verse says, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you alone we seek help from. It is only Allah Ta'ala who controls the affairs, the commands in its totality. Wallahi, not a single person on this earth, nor them all gathered together, human and jinn, can ever benefit you the size of an atom. Never ever. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His hand is the controllability of the whole universe. And this is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, to know Allah Ta'ala in Lordship, knowing that Allah Ta'ala is the only one that has the real power. Not like those so-called kutub, which is the belief of mystic Sufism, that there are men out there that control the whole earth. They say there is something called kutub. There's a pivot. Pivot is something like this. That pivot rotates. They say these kutub are surrounding the pivot, which is the earth to them. The pivot is the earth to them. They say these kutub are rotating around this pivot, the earth, and they control that which happens on this earth. You know, how far has the shaitan, you know, got those people to? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. When you recite this in prayer, brothers and sisters, understand the meaning. And when you understand the meaning, implement that which is mentioned. When you say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, do not worship other than Allah Ta'ala. Implement it. And then the next verse comes, إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Guide us to the straight way. Guide us, O Allah Ta'ala, to the straight path. What path is that? What path is that? The next verse explains the path. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path that you have favoured those. The path on whom you have favoured. And who are they? It's not mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha. It's mentioned in Surah Al-Nisa. Translated, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger will be with those, in the company of those who Allah has favoured. The prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. And what an excellent company is this, as Allah says. This is the straight path. The path that the prophets were on, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. This is the path that you want to be on. The prophets were on what? La ilaha illallah. On Tawheed. لَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاشْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. We have sent to every nation, to every single nation, a messenger to worship Allah and avoid association, ascribing partners to the Almighty Lord. This is the path that we want. So it's easy. It's not hard. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. If you look at it, you know, it's in a good frame of work. Our mind can sort of be focused on this path. And that's when the slave says after that, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Not the path of those who have earned your anger, nor those who have went astray. See, there's two paths here. Two paths. The path of the righteous and the path of the evil. Those who have received the anger of Allah Ta'ala and those who have went astray. This is the path that we have to keep far away. Push it aside and grab the path. If you want to be with those people, you want to be in the highest of paradise, push that path away and grab this path as strong as you can by understanding the path they were on. And you can never, ever implement this path if you do not know the path they were on. And the only way you'll know their path is by seeking knowledge and understanding that which they were on. Not by reciting, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Sleeping like a layman, doesn't know what he's saying. Ya Allah, just hurry up, ya Imam. عَيْشِلْ شْوَيَ عَيْشِلْ. Come on, you're taking too long in prayer. Is this the path that we want? When you recite Al-Fatiha, recite it with reflection. Do not start snoring. Do not start thinking about food. Or what you're going to, who you're going to play next. Oh, I'm going to play this today, Liverpool. Or tomorrow I'm playing Warwick Farm. Oh, they beat us last week, we have to kill them this week. Brothers and sisters, implement this surah. Implement it. And do not be on the path of those who earned Allah's anger. The Jews and Christians, because Jews and Christians both, they're both misguided, and they have both earned Allah's anger. However, in the verse, Al-Maghdubi alayhim refers to whom? To the Jews. While Ad-Dalin refers to the Christians. But the Christians likewise share this anger, like the Jews. The reason why, and Allah knows best, that the Jews are specified here is because they knew the truth and they rejected the truth. And they deliberately came with falsehood. So the best description that befitted such evil people were the Jews. And inshallah, next week, very briefly, we're going to take, before we start our new surah, what caused the anger of Allah on them. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.